And welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Before the Red Sox season comes to a close this weekend, we want to tip our baseball caps to one of the players in particular. This one hasn't missed a home game in 12 years.
He always plays well, even in big pressure games, before tens of thousands of Sox fans. And yet, you've probably never seen him.
And yet, you probably have heard him. That's right, we're talking about the Red Sox organist, Josh Cantor. When he's not working in the music library at Harvard or playing in one of his three rock and roll bands, you can find Cantor tucked into the back corner of the State Street Pavilion Club at Fenway Park, high above the field, playing his organ. That's where we visited him recently and where he told us that his work on game days begins long before the first pitch is thrown. And it usually starts with a medley.
Let's see. Sounds like... You know, as people are filing in, there's a lot of sensory input that they're getting. You know, they might be seeing a video playing on the giant scoreboard. They might have the taste of a beer, the smell of a hot dog, the crack of the bat during batting practice, you know, vendors sort of shouting in the stands. And then part of that is the organ music that's painting that audio picture. Right, you get the idea.
Yeah.
So that's an old song called Downtown by, I think it was Petula Clark, maybe late 60s. A lot of times what I'm playing is incidental. It's definitely very much secondary to, you know, the baseball game and to other things that are happening. But it's part of, you know, creating a mood and an atmosphere.
Is this a dream job for a baseball fan?
It's a dream job for a baseball fan who likes playing the organ, I would say. And I had a notion as early as around age 13. That was around the time that I realized that I wasn't good enough at playing baseball. But I thought, oh, maybe if I get better at playing organ, maybe that's a way to have a job in the field of baseball. And at the time, I had just moved to the Chicago area, and I sort of quickly became enchanted with the playing of Nancy Faust, who was the White Sox organist for 41 years. Everybody kind of regards her as the best and most important stadium organist. But one of the things I remember from the first time we talked after I got the job here was she said, you know, always make sure you update the repertoire, add new songs. It really is worthwhile. You'll get good response from people and you'll remain relevant, because if you want to do this for a long time, you'll play your way into irrelevance if you don't keep updating the song selections. So that was great advice from her.
I mean, you're here in just this little corner behind a pillar, so in a way you're sort of alone, but you're playing for 37,000 people. The first time you did that, was there stage fright? Were you nervous?
The first time, I was incredibly nervous, but I had given myself permission to be nervous. I figured it's going to take a few games to get used to this. I had never played in front of more than probably 500 or 600 people before, and because it was opening day, there was a lot of fanfare and celebration, and we had Ray Charles here singing his iconic rendition of America the Beautiful. We had Lou Rawls singing the national anthem, and those are sort of two of my all-time favorite performers and people who made me, you know, as a kid, want to grow up to be a musician.
So wait a minute. On your first day playing at Fenway Park, yeah. Ray Charles and Lou Rawls were here.
Exactly. And
fantastic.
I remember I had the headset on, and the producer said to me, he said, okay, and I didn't really know what all was going on. They were trying to keep these high-profile celebrity appearances under wraps, so it was a surprise even to me, and the producer said, okay, Ray Charles is going to come out, do his thing, Lou Rawls is going to come out, do his thing, and then Josh, I'm going to need you to follow up with something after that.
So can you do just a little something recalling Ray Charles?
Let's see. Well, here's a variation on his iconic rendition of America the Beautiful, which he played on that day, on opening day in 2003 at Fenway Park.
America,
intensity of that sort of purged all my nervousness all at once. And ever since then, I've managed to play pretty much for the most part free of nervousness. But oftentimes I'm reminded most directly that people are listening by getting the live feedback via Twitter. I take requests during the game from fans who are in the stands, and that's always
so they
very
actually
enjoyable.
Tweet you requests.
Yeah, and they'll say, I'm here with my girlfriend, it's her birthday, she loves this song, can you play it for me? And if I can fit it in and if it fits with the mood of what's happening in the game, then I will. I think it's a nice way to interact with the fans and enhance the experience of fans who are here enjoying the game, to know that they can talk to me directly and that I can play for them and I can accommodate their requests. So it's been fun.
Give me maybe even from a recent game. So something happens on the field, either positive or negative or whatever it is. Something happens in the action of the game. You respond sometimes musically, for example.
Well, let's see. There was a recent incident where there was a Yankees pitcher, Michael Pineda, and he was ejected from the game. He was using pine tar. You know, obviously it was a big moment. The crowd responded in a big fashion, and I took the opportunity to play an Elvis Presley song called Suspicious Minds. And it's nice. It worked well. I mean, the first lyric of the song is, we're caught in a trap, so I just sort of played that little introduction, you know. From there, we can't go on with Suspicious Minds. And it's the kind of thing, you know, if people are paying attention and they recognize the song, they might hear the melody and hum along and think like, oh yeah, I know that song. Oh, I get it. It's a little joke. The DJ who plays all the recorded music, my friend, TJ Connolly, he and I talk a lot about where's the line between being whimsical and being cruel. And he's coined a word that he calls crimsical. We try to always land on the whimsical side. You know, we don't wish to be cruel or make personal attacks. That's a song called You Gotta Have Heart. It's from an old Broadway show called Damn Yankees. It comes in handy sometimes playing at Fenway Park to play.
Josh, I'd love to ask you about, you know, how you would describe the importance for stadiums, for places like Fenway Park to hold on to this tradition. Because when I was a kid and came here at a very young age, there was only the organ. You know, and then they built the big scoreboard, then the big speakers go up, there's a lot of recorded music, and so the feeling in many ways of the ballparks have really changed. But in my opinion, it's nice that the organ is still here.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. As far as, you know, carrying on the tradition, I feel like it's a great honor and a great responsibility. I think at a ballpark like Fenway, which is the oldest major league ballpark that's still standing, and the organ has been here for over 60 years, so it has become one of those lasting traditions.
Well, Josh, thank you so much for
your time. You're very welcome, Anthony.
Really fun. Really, really, really fun to be here and fun to hear you play.
Thanks.
Red Sox organist Josh Cantor. You can hear him live at Fenway Park tonight through Sunday night as the Red Sox close out the season with a series against the New York Yankees. And of course, he'll be back in action for opening day next year. And that's April 13th, by the way, if you want to mark your calendars.
And that's it for our program today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.